Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks for listening. One more campaign of airstrikes. No shock, no awe, and to what effect this time? It's expected to be a month-long assault against the Islamic State in Libya, also called ISIL. Libya itself is little more than wreckage from its revolution, with factions running rampant and the Islamic State poised to claim a North African prize. Local militias have been taking some heavy losses against the Islamic State, and U.S. airstrikes are aimed at helping those ground forces. At a news conference in Singapore this week, the president said these latest strikes answer a call for help from Tripoli.
It is in America's national security interests in our fight against ISIL to make sure that they're able to finish the job. And so we're working in partnership with them to assure that ISIL does not get a stronghold in Libya, even as Libya begins what is going to be a long process to establish a functioning government and security system there.
The president acknowledged that these airstrikes are a belated attempt to rectify what he has called a mistake of his administration, leaving a massive power void that gave ISIL lots of room to grow after the overthrow of Muammar Gaddafi. Joining us to talk about this escalation is Mary Fitzgerald. She's a journalist specializing in Libya and contributing author to the book The Libyan Revolution and Its Aftermath. Mary, welcome.
Thank you for having me, John.
It seems as though the dissolution of Libya is following something of a pattern if you look at Syria and other countries in recent history where dictators have been deposed, and instead of the reinstallation of some government, it just falls apart. And to me, Libya looks almost like a partitioned country at this point.
Well, many Libyans would say that what the country is essentially experiencing now is a de facto partition, in that a political power struggle that erupted in summer 2014 and later resulted into what many consider a civil war has essentially divided the country between different rival governments. Right now, you have a UN-backed unity government, which the first layer of which is based in the capital Tripoli in western Libya, whereas in eastern Libya, you have another government, which was previously the internationally recognized government, that refuses to recognize or back that UN-supported unity government. So the political power struggle that has basically roiled Libya since 2014 has created a space in which a so-called Islamic State has basically built a presence and expanded.
And it's also the possibility that it would turn out like Cyprus, where there's a partition and one side refuses to recognize the other side. But what is it that is fueling the instability within Libya? Is it just the fact that ISIS wants a piece of this?
Well, I think we can boil down the political power struggle in Libya and the civil war resulting from it down to one essential point, and that is the battle for control over Libya's resources, its oil wealth. Libya has Africa's biggest oil reserves, much of which has been untapped up to now. And after the fall of Gaddafi in 2011, there was basically a rush to control the country, a rush by different armed and political factions. Remember, Libyans had no experience of democracy before 2011. Gaddafi was in power for 42 years. Before that, you had a monarchy. So everyone felt that the democratic transition for Libya post-Gaddafi was going to be a turbulent one, and so it has resulted. Though we have seen an intensification of that power struggle over the last 2 years for a whole range of reasons, in terms of a lot of the factors that were kind of feeding the instability post-2011, the proliferation of militias that had emerged not just during the uprising against Gaddafi in 2011, but also during the transitional period. They were all vying for political control, for control of the resources, for control of the oil wealth in different parts of the country.
And who's on top at this point as far as control of oil is concerned?
Well, I think you can say that Libya is a country where everyone and no one is in charge. I mean, the word control is a relative one in Libya. What you have now, essentially, because of that political power struggle over the last 2 years, is a real fragmentation and atomization of whatever power structures existed before everything started to unravel 2 years ago. And that is making the process of trying to find a solution to this ongoing civil war that put an end to this political power struggle, that has made that challenge even more difficult. Hence, we have right now in Libya three entities all claiming to be a government of some sort. But as many Libyans lament to me, they say, you know, we have several governments, but none can be considered to be governing in any real sense.
At what point does ISIL's presence become so entrenched that there's no choice but to really proceed down a path of power sharing, political power sharing with them, either in Libya or Syria or any of the other places where they seem totally entrenched? There doesn't seem to be a prospect of airstrikes resolving the political situation, yes?
No, not at all. And as I said, the presence of so-called Islamic State in Libya is a symptom instead of an actual cause of Libya's instability. The political power struggle is what needs to be tackled in Libya. Now, that unity government I mentioned earlier, which has been based in Tripoli since earlier this year, it's backed by the UN. It comes as a result of an almost two-year UN-mediated dialogue process. But that unity government is still very weak, very fragile. It doesn't have support from a range of factions, some of which are actively hostile towards it. And that it's very, very important that that unity government, if it is to survive, if it is to impose its authority and start to govern in any real sense, that it gets more support from a wider range of factions. So really, the deep malaise in Libya is not so much Islamic State, which is a problem, is a threat, but it's that deeper political power struggle, the utter lack of consensus, the utter lack of stakeholders deciding that they have to pull together, and too many people, too many factions playing a zero-sum game trying to control the oil wealth.
If through some international fatigue, the international community were to just let Libya go, what course is it on? And would that be a threat to the region or the rest of the world for that matter?
Well, there are many inside and out of Libya who've essentially described Libya now as a failed state. That's why the European powers in particular have really been very active in terms of this UN-mediated dialogue process, trying to find a solution to the political problem and stressing that a solution to the political problem must come either first or at the same time as efforts to tackle the security issue. There were concerns earlier this year that in the rush to tackle Islamic State in Libya, that the political process may be abandoned or left behind. I think now there's a realization that it actually has to happen in tandem, because without the political process, without a political solution, efforts to tackle insecurity, efforts to tackle the threat posed by Islamic State will only go so far.
Mary Fitzgerald is a reporter specializing in Libya and contributing author to the book The Libyan Revolution and Its Aftermath.